Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Every day is like a blank page. Some people encounter the page with fear and dread. Others encounter it with potential and excitement. Hello, my name is Aubrey Baptista. At Kindred Art Therapy, you will learn to be inspired daily rather than approaching each day with fear. For more information, visit arttherapync.com to book a free 15-minute consultation.
My name is Alin Davis. I'm a counselor and coach with a compassionate heart and a wealth of experience. My mission is to help people journey towards recovery, self-discovery, and holistic well-being. As a licensed therapist in North Carolina, I've had the privilege of witnessing countless individuals break free from the grips of eating disorders, trauma, anxiety, depression, and find renewed purpose in their lives. For more information, visit alindavis.com or click the buy button on this ad. I look forward to seeing you break free.
Welcome to Kindred, where we believe that when we recognize our interconnectedness with one another, we are able to achieve higher levels of wellness for ourselves and our communities. In this podcast, we explore the question of mental wellness and share the help we have received. It is through this sharing that we hope to inspire others to experience their own wellness. Today, we are meeting with Suzette West, who is a certified heart math mentor and executive coach who helps people realize their power and wisdom to co-create a better future. She works with purpose-driven changemakers, conscious business leaders, and founders to achieve coherence, the alignment between heart and mind that is the first step toward meaningful change. Suzette embraces conscious capitalism, impact investing, and connecting with conscious communities who believe business can be a force for good in the world. Welcome, Suzette. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Aubrey.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really enjoy about the times that I've met with you and talked to you is in the world of business, right, everything is so fast paced and it's all about productivity and getting things done. And what I notice about you, Suzette, is that you really like embody kind of just slowing down and just being. And I wanted to hear you talk a little bit more about that and your philosophy on that and the changes that you're hoping to create in the business world and how those are going to ripple out into our greater communities?
Good question. So doing versus being. So we are conditioned, and this is basically hustle culture that I'm referring to. We are conditioned to be doing and achieving. But what happens is when we are, you know, there's a delicate balance between doing and being, and we've not been conditioned to embrace just being, which is to take time to breathe, to contemplate, to self-reflect. These are things that being is about when you're just being in nature and just sensing the world around you and allowing nature to soothe your spirit. These are all things that recharge the inner battery. And what happens when we're doing is our inner battery can run down, and this affects our resilience. It affects how we show up in the world. We can get cranky. And it can lead to complete depletion when we are doing without being. So the whole idea about balancing the two is to know when to slow down, to listen to the body, because the body is always communicating what it needs. So when we take the time to listen to our bodies, and if our bodies are saying, hey, slow down, we have to slow the mind down and listen, because the mind can, well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to get this done and I got to get that done and I got to get this done before next week and I just can't take a break. And the thing is, a lot of us just don't listen to ourselves So that is what causes an imbalance to happen. And when an imbalance happens and we're doing more than we're being, we're not recharging the inner battery. We're not refilling the cup so that we can pour into others. It's all about self-love and self-care that allows us to show up for others. It requires us showing up for ourselves first.
Thank you for sharing about that, Suzette. As you're talking, I'm just thinking about how the message that you're saying is an important one. It's also a simple one. And I think that people have heard it a lot of times, but it feels sometimes like, but how? How do I do that? Well, so how did you do that? Like, how have you been able to make that shift for yourself?
So it started when I first discovered heart-focused breathing, and that is a breath practice that's developed by the HeartMath Institute, and that's the modality that I use for my breath practices. And there's so many types of breath practices. But it was when I started practicing, having a daily practice of doing heart-focused breathing, that the orientation to myself, my nervous system, how to slow it down, how to emotionally self-regulate, it all starts with the breath. And when I first started, I could barely stay focused because my mind had been like decades just going and going and going, to-do list, gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta run. And it made it so that my whole life became a to-do list and I was neglecting my inner life. I was neglecting myself. So when I got into the breath practice, it was a process of building up from 30 seconds to a minute to 5 minutes. And just over time, that breath helped me stay with myself. And the longer I stayed with myself, the more emotionally aware I became. In other words, I stopped and asked myself, what am I feeling right now? Where am I emotionally? How am I feeling? And periodic self-checks like that, and just getting in touch with how I felt in any given moment gave rise to emotional awareness.
Yeah.
And so I became more emotionally aware. I became more internally aware, and my inner landscape just came to life. And that's what really excited me about the process of meditation and breath practice. It really is, it's a universal practice that really reorients us to our inner life. And we get to connect more deeply into that inner life. And that's where our resilience is. It's through that process, through that practice.
Yeah. So as you're speaking, I'm still thinking about how, like, from my perspective and from my work that I've done, I know how important and foundational this skill is that you're talking about. What I wonder about is what kind of barriers kind of get in the way, and like what makes it so that this becomes hard for people, or like what kind of obstacles get in the way? Like, have you noticed either for yourself or for people that you've worked with, like things that stop people from doing the work?
Well, for me, it was a busy mind. A busy mind is like a runaway freight train. It's like a runaway wild horse, but you know, it's not really taking you anywhere except to a complete exhaustion. So it is that, and I've heard it called the monkey mind before, and they call it that for a reason, because when the mind is all over the place, there's the focus is not as good, and it is a barrier. It is a challenge to the whole, experience of, building up resilience and, getting reoriented so that you can be in the moment. And sometimes it could be that we're not comfortable being with, you know, maybe there's some unresolved emotions that have to come up that get pushed down. Some people don't like to be with themselves. And some of those instances may require extra help, like through a therapist that understands somatic type of therapies, because we, our bodies carry all kinds of stuff, you know. And if you've ever studied Bruce Lipton epigenetics, we inherit a lot of trauma in addition to whatever we sustain during life. So we have all these things, all these barriers to growth. And the mind is the very first place that can slow us down. And that's why the breath is so important, because the breath is what helps to slow the mind down. And when we drop the mind into the heart through breathing, it slows it down.
So I also think, Suzette, about how the work that you're doing is very brave, because you are, not only are you going inward and you're working on these things for yourself and facing your own inner, you know, inner struggles and the things that are going on for you, but then you're taking these skills and you're helping executives and human resources departments, which can be very high pressure. It's like almost the opposite. It's very much about productivity, right? And so how do you go about coming into a room full of executives and bring them this type of work? Like, how does that go?
So it helps to incorporate a bit of the science of the heart's electromagnetic field, that we all have a biofield. And when we gather with more than one individual, there is a collective biofield that contains a lot of information that affects the dynamics within a group and for a person, for themselves too, because if, you know, they're feeding the field with fearful things, and it's going to instill fear. It's the uncertainty, the energy. You can feel the fear in the biofield of humans, whether it's one human or a group of humans. We feed the field with our thoughts and emotions, and it impacts how we show up and how people respond to us and how people react to us. So what I have to do is I have to balance the science with the spiritual, because they are interwoven.
So when you come into a room, it's almost like just turning the light switch on.
Yeah,
like you're like, hey, everyone, just so you know, this thing is here. You may not have known that it was here, but it's here.
Yes. Yes. How to make the unseen seen so that it can be worked on with intention, with compassion, with full awareness of what they're working with. Because many executives don't realize what they're working with when they're trying to transform their culture. They don't realize that there is a collective energy, a collective heart, a collective soul, and it comprises of all the hearts and souls of the people within the organization. So when there is disharmony, when there's energy leaks to the collective battery, then an energetically aware leader can look at that, can sense that collective energy, and can follow the undercurrents to the source, and then compassionately plug those leaks.
That sounds like a lot of awareness that you would need in order to be able to do that. So what does the work look like in terms of like helping somebody to gain that level of awareness? It sounds like you might work with them, a therapist might work with them. What does that look like, Suzette?
So regarding the therapist, that is something that is going to be individual to each person, and it will definitely benefit, especially if we're talking about inner childhood wounds that flare up when another person's inner childhood wounds flares up and we've got two children, inner children fighting. So this is why one has to be the adult, and that's why the leader has to go through a process of activating that inner battery, learning how to plug their own energy battery leaks and how to recharge that inner battery so they're resilient and have all the energy they need in the face of anything that comes their way. And then there's the inner GPS. How do you bring that online? We have to activate that. They have to learn how to discern the information and trust it and follow it. And learning how to trust it is huge, because a lot of people don't trust their inner voice. And that's a problem. And so the leader has to go through this process first so that they can then align themselves with the intention necessary to embody and model the inclusive culture they're wishing to co-create with their people. And then they have to become the mentor, coach, and guide to their people in the spirit of that new culture. So there is a becoming that happens. It's not just doing. They are becoming who they're supposed to be for the sustainable results they're looking to achieve.
So a lot of the listeners, I believe, are probably going to be more on like the employee side of things. Now, granted, there's going to be a lot of listeners that are also, you know, head of their company or executive level. But speaking more specifically to those who are subordinate, like, or they're employees of a situation and they have leaders above them, how can they navigate a situation where maybe their superior is emotionally activated, but they don't really know how to address that situation where there's a power dynamic?
Yeah. So I want to first say that the reason that a lot of DEI initiatives or initiatives to co-create inclusive culture fall short is because they lack buy-in from the very, very top. However, that being said, speaking to middle managers or supervisors or team leaders who are not at the top, the best thing that they can do is to build up their own resilience and to support their people within their department, even if the greater organization is not inclusive. They can create a subculture that is inclusive, and that's actually a different topic. And it actually, you know, as soon as that manager goes away or that team leader goes away, so does that inclusive culture. Really, this type of work needs to begin with the topmost person. And at the very least, for example, organizations with chief diversity officers that have just been hired, they don't have a roadmap. They don't have a clue. They're just like given instructions to create the strategy and get it on, you know, do it. And that's actually one of the reasons why that's like one of the number one challenges, not having a roadmap. And that's actually what I help them do. So it's harder to implement sustainable organization-wide changes when it doesn't start at the very top. And for chief diversity officers, it's really most beneficial if the CEO joins in the training with the chief diversity officer, because this is how the sustainable results will be secured.
So moving on a little bit to like some results that you've seen, I'm wondering like what kind of transformations that you have seen happen in a company culture based on the work that you've done.
Yeah, so I worked with a client for 5 years, and a lot of the work that I am basing the program off of is from my experience working with her. She first started as a entry-level substance use counselor, and she lived through a couple of different difficult managers, but she went through school and became assistant program manager. And at that point, her leadership training started happening on the job. And as I supported her through that, she used the tools and she was able to get all the answers she needed from within to manage conflict, to manage her bosses that were, you know, they had some problems. They had issues and it traumatized the team. So when she became a program manager, she inherited a traumatized team. But through her awareness of the skills and the tools and the mentoring over the last 5 years, she was able to tap into her own natural wisdom. She did have challenges. She did have to deal with people who were around who were in the favored group of the previous manager. So that was very difficult. But she did. She is now one of the top performing branches of her company. And it was through the embodiment of the culture. Like, she really wanted her culture in her chapter or in her branch to really shine. And they are not only, you know, they watch after her. Like, they won't let her book herself and overwork herself. They love her. And it's because she goes in and she creates this inclusive spirit, and she means it from the heart and she embodies it. But it's not shared company-wide. It's only in her little branch there. But she is one of the top performing. She is the top performing branch in her organization. So it's through that. And she just completed her doctorate's degree in community public health on top of all of that. So I've witnessed, I've been through all the ups and the downs. So I know how painful it can be, but I also know that it can certainly be turned around.
Thank you so much, Suzette. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. And I just wanted to know for my listeners here, where can we find out more about you?
So I have a website, wildheartsrising.com. And you can just check me out right there. And I post regular blogs and updates about the program. And it's going to be in beta mode. But if you want to get notified, anyone can sign up. And we will notify them as soon as, you know, news and updates progress.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Suzette. And for those who are listening, for anybody who wants to learn more about this radio show, Kindred, then you can visit bizradio.us. And there you can find any other Biz Radio podcasts online.
Thank you so much, Aubrey.
Thanks, Suzette.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.